Good morning. How you doing? Hey, welcome to the Ringer Wrap on a Saturday, 17th day of June already. Believe it or not, yes, what are we, 4 days away from the official kickoff to summertime? You can believe that. Wow, it is just a moving and a grooving. It's some serious noise in the morning time. So, with that said, happy now? I hope you're happy now. Come on, it's summertime. It is time to shine. That's contagious. It's not just contagious, it's just craziness. It is absolutely contagious. It's crazy. Jim LaRue with you on a Saturday morning, and what a beautiful day we've got in store for you today. Maybe a slight chance of a shower or something later on during the day, but partly sunny. High of 83 today. Tonight, cooling off to about 63 with a 70% chance of maybe some precipitation, which God only knows we need a lot of rain here. Things are just drying up. It's just been a drought ever since we had this crazy wet spring. And then for tomorrow, looks like some showers, possibly likely 60% chance and a high of 77. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, cooling off to 62. And then all week long, it's just going to be pretty much clear skies Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and highs well into the 90s. So it's going to be a scorcher, little blazing saddles going on. Maybe a chance of a shower or thunderstorm for Thursday night, cooling off again to around 68. Friday, a 40% chance of showers likely, mostly sunny and a high of 87. So a lot of heat on its way here as we approach summertime. Like I said, we're just about 4 days away from kicking off the entire summer festivities. But before today, we still have plenty of Raiders to talk about. We had a couple of events that happened over last week. We had a couple of state tournament participants, and I believe Liz Campbell will get us up to date on what happened with Raider Nation on the Raider scoreboard right here on KYMN.
Hello and good morning, everyone. I hope you are enjoying your Saturday. Once again, I am freshman Liz Campbell, and this is this week's Raider scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Emerson Garley competed at the state golf tournament at Bunker Hill this past week. She shot 76 on day 1 and 74 on day 2 for a total of 150. That earned her 7th place in the state for AAA. She was also a part of the selective All-State in the Coaches Association and also with the State High School League. Congratulations, Emerson. Northfield Track and Field competed in the state finals meet last Saturday. Brayden Brackey had the race of his life, PRing in the 100-meter dash by half a second with a speedy time of 10:87. This breaks the previous school record and earned him 9th place at state plus All-State honors. Kamarian Grant competed in high jump and cleared a PR height of 6'4", which earned him 6th place and All-State honors. Captain Toby Graw also competed in the state meet in discus, and he threw an impressive 14.34, earning him 12th place. That's it for this week's scoreboard. Again, I'm your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to the Raider scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap on KYMN 95.1, The One.
We're just a couple of minutes after 10 o'clock. We're going to take a short little break here. We got maybe a little introduction coming up here for you. We've got the activities director, Bubba Sullivan, will be joining us this morning. So stick around. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening again to KYMN and the Raider Wrap on 95.1. The
kids are constantly changing, both physically and emotionally. That means the challenges of parenting change too. At Northfield Hospital and Clinics, our pediatricians are experts in kids. Our pediatric team works with you to provide the best individualized care and guidance through all your child's stages of growth. And we take the time to listen to your questions and concerns too. When only the best for your kids will do, schedule an appointment with the pediatric team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics, partnering with you for a lifetime of care.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Many of us would love an extra flexible way to earn money. Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines have many driving positions available, including vans that won't require a CDL, small and regular-sized school buses, and motor coaches. These positions offer flexible hours, days off when kids are out of school. You can even bring your kids to work with you. Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines offer on-site training and testing, along with wages up to $21 an hour. No experience necessary. Stop by Benjamin Bus on Highway 3 in Northfield, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Just Food Co-op is your locally owned natural food grocer. Sure, we've got locally produced meats, great selection of fresh produce, and hormone-free dairy products. But did you know we also carry mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, tater tots, and cheese puffs? Minus the MSG and other artificial additives you really don't want your family eating. There's something for everyone's taste buds at the Co-op. Member or not, you're always welcome at Just Food Co-op, 516 Water Street South in downtown Northfield.
Connects Nurseries and Landscaping in Northfield is your all-in-one garden center. Come and browse thousands of trees, shrubs, perennials, and annuals, as well as a variety of soil, mulch, and rock. Connects' knowledgeable staff are here to help you with your next project. Check us out at connects.net. That's KNECHTS.net, where plants and people connect.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. We offer the lowest prices with the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. With the best appliance brands including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Get a refrigerator, oven, microwave, and dishwasher with the fingerprint-resistant stainless steel Whirlpool appliance suite. And save over $2,400 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through June 18th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on a Saturday morning. Usually we're up here bright and early, 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock each and every day. If for some reason you were not able to catch us live this morning, you most certainly may go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, select the Raider Wrap, and then select today's date, and you can listen back to all the interviews and activities going on in Raider Nation. Coming up in the Meet the Raiders segment later today, we've got Clara Lippert joining us, who is now attending Colorado College. Liz Campbell goes one-on-one with Meet the Raider. That's all coming up yet this morning. But first, we need to talk to this guy right here. Well, the 22-23 season, spring season anyhow, kind of comes to a final end, finally. And activities director, the one-year activities director, Bubba Sullivan, joins me for the Raider Wrap this morning. Bubba, you know, it's been almost a year. We're in June. I think you took over 100% in July, but you started apprenticeship training, if you will.
Sure. Yep.
Last spring, but spring's over. It's all wrapped up. So it's been an interesting year all the way around. And spring's been no difference. You know, the baseball team had 19 wins, and you know, we've had some great track stars. And how's the spring been treating you?
Yeah, we had a great spring, athletic wise. We had lots of teams that had a lot of success in the win and, you know, the win and loss column. But they also had a lot of teams that grew this spring. We had some young teams that got better throughout the season. So yeah, it was a great spring. You know, we had a rough weather patch at the very beginning. We had a lot of cancellations, but things kind of got nice, and the last half of the season was pretty sweet.
And now everyone says there's a drought.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy how that'll start out, but yeah. How are you as activities director working, whether it's with the Minnesota State High School League or if it was teams, was it other athletic or activities directors, because of that crazy, crazy spring? And it was crazy because we literally had snow, till it was literally almost game time. So as activities director, what were you doing? What was your key roles there?
Well, a couple things. One, having the Dundas Dome is key for us. You know, we were able to with the school district rents space in that Dundas Dome in March and April. And so our teams, many of our teams, almost every spring sport was able to get in there and get some practice time in. And we don't have, you know, we really lack enough gym space in the town for all our teams. So the having that dome is awesome. So that really helps our teams.
So who funds that? Is that extra then?
So it's the school district does a lease with the Dundas Dome, just like we would for the ice arena or other things like that we would use. Yeah.
So then do you, when it comes administration or board time, do you go back into the board and say, hey, I'd like to request some additional funding for more time in there, or how does that work?
Well, we'd love that, but yeah, it's a pretty set budget. So there's this amount set aside, and you know, and obviously with going through budget cuts with the district, we weren't purchasing more of anything, but we were able to get the hours we needed, and yeah, it worked out great. We even had we played one boys lacrosse game indoors, and I think we played at least one and maybe two softball games in there. So, yeah.
Tennis? Do they do tennis inside?
Tennis,
there?
No, because it's it's artificial turf.
Artificial turf. Yeah. I didn't know if they could move that. You know, but
no, tennis is the one probably that doesn't get in there of the fall sports that you know would like to get in there a little bit.
You know, I talked to Marty Johnson here a couple weeks ago, and actually last week, I believe, you know, their tennis team wrapped up, and, you know, none of this doubles or singles made it to state this year, but he felt there was a little bit more of a resurgence. He had a few extra players that came out, and he sees some great promise for next year into that as well. So any thought of how, you know, you could expand that opportunity for those tennis players?
Right. Well, I think tennis is, you know, he's got a young team. They were young. And I do think there's some up and coming talent there. So I think if they, keep developing, I think they've got some bright futures ahead of them. They do get in a little bit. There's some indoor tennis opportunities in the area, Owatonna, cities, Lakeville, metro area. So they do a little bit of that. As a team, I think they had one. They did one. Their first meet this year was indoors at Gustavus, so they were able to get a meet in that way too.
What's the connection between Owatonna? Is that something that, again, the school works with Owatonna, or
no? That would be a situation where the team or the kids would say, "Hey, we want to go have a practice." And they'd rent the time.
So the tennis team themselves, or would it be out of their parents and whatever?
Yeah, it could be their parents. And,
really?
Yeah.
So that's not something that's going to go in the budget.
No.
Okay. We talked to Janet Smith. We talked to Tyler Balow. They had a very successful spring track season. They had, my goodness, 90-something participants on each team, and amazing the turnout of the track team. And, you know, and then you had, a bunch of people, and there was a trap team. How involved are you with that trap team?
Well, not a ton. They are connected with our office a little bit. So I did get a chance to talk to Pete Mergens, and, you know, they have 90 some kids on that team. I think he told me 60 of them are competing this weekend for a chance to go to state. The skeet part of the team won the conference. There's that's a smaller group. That's 10 of them. They are going to state, I believe, as a team. That happens on Sundays down at Morristown. A lot of that doesn't come through our office, but Pete does a great job, and a ton of kids are involved in that. Yeah.
But then you also, like I said, you look at the track team, and both the girls' team and the boys' team. And it's interesting when you talk to both Tyler and to Janet, because Janet's the head coach of the girls' team, but she coaches the long distance for the boys. And then Tyler's the head coach of the boys, but he does all the field events with the girls. So it's an interesting concept. We never had that growing up in school. The boys were over here, and the gals were over here, and that was it. So how long has this been going on?
Well, we've had a couple different track models. We've had a track model where we had one head coach, and then kind of each gender had a kind of a lead assistant, and then a few years ago we went with a head coach in each, and that's been back and forth over the years. But this model with Tyler and Janet is worked well. So the throwers coach, for example, Tim Larson, works with both genders. You know, the jumpers coach, the sprinter coaches. So I helped out the last two springs, not this past one, but it works well, and it reminds me a lot of a football staff, and that, you know, you've got your head and your assistant coaches, but your assistant coaches might, you know, they're very specific. You know, your linebacker coach might work with the varsity linebackers and the JV linebackers and the, you know, the B squad linebackers. You know, the tracks similar to that. But they had a great year. They had, you know, I'm sure you talked about the kids that went to state. They had six kids at state. Amber Mahal, you know, won the section, ninth grader at high jump. Kamarian Gant took sixth at state with a 6'4 high jump.
That, by the way, I talked to Tyler about that, and I was a high jumper in high school, and 6'4 is just, people don't really, I don't think people really realize how high that is.
put a tape mark on your wall at 6'4 and see if you think you could jump over that.
Completely over it. And I mean, you gotta flip your back and your legs, yeah, and everything, and go over and on top of that. So that is quite an accomplishment for that young man. And I can't remember, was he a senior? Or?
He's only a junior.
Nice. So yeah, he's got a shot to come back next year and maybe try it again. Yeah.
Braden Brackey, you know, made the finals in the 100 and took ninth, and earned all state. Toby Grau in the disc was at state, and then the relay of Brackey and Gant and Jackson Jurdy and Simon Lippert all qualified. So a nice group qualified from our track meet, or our track team, and yeah, they had a nice year.
Just all around with the Northfield Raiders. I mean, for your first year as the activities director. Who were speaking with Bubba Sullivan, by the way, who's the activities director. How involved were you before you became the activities director that you took so part? Were you more or less involved, or were you more just with the football, and then you just kind of, and I know you helped out with the track here and there and different things, but now that you're the activities director, you're literally involved in just about every single activity that's going on.
Yeah, everything comes through our office one way or another, and that's one of the fun things about the job, and also one of the things that makes it tough, because there's everything's coming through there. But yeah, every sport and the activities, some of the music stuff all rolls through our office. And Cheryl Dawkins, the she's our executive assistant, and she's been in that role for 15 years, and she is wonderful. She's
right.
She's got her thumb on everything and knows what's going on, and she really, for a first year AD, I certainly wouldn't have made it through. I would have made a lot of mistakes if she weren't around. So
right. Yeah. And I know the debate team did pretty well this year too. And then there's another one. Isn't there a legal team or something?
So we have a mock trial team. Yeah, they do well. Speech is always a strong for us. Our knowledge bowl team. You know, sometimes we'll go to meets and we'll take first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, or things like that. It's kind of crazy. And they also went to state. I think we sent two teams to state in that. So we've got lots of good activities as well.
Different sports, I believe, go to different levels. So this year the track team was, what, 2A? They go to 1A? Or is it
triple A?
Or 3A, they go to double A or something like that.
Right.
What about hockey, football, that?
So actually, for next year, many of our teams will go down a class. Our enrollment number that the high school league uses dropped considerably. And so, for example, softball's been in the highest class. They're going to go down. Baseball's been down. So I think they'll both be AAA. And I don't have them all memorized off the top of my head. But they'll go from the big class down one. Let's see. Lacrosse goes down. Cross country will go down one. And, you know, the cross-country girls went to state last year, and they really feel like they go down a class. They have a chance to not just go to state, but really make some noise there, although they did a great job last year, too.
Right.
Both the girls' hockey is going to stay in the large class.
Okay.
Boys' hockey is another. They are right now in the large class, and it's a long story. There's a chance they could move down before next year to single A from double A, but that's
And it has to do with enrollment, not the size of the team, right?
Totally, it has to do with school enrollment. Yeah. So your school enrollment number, ours is for the next 2 years is 1102, and they figure that out. That's not exactly the number of kids we have, because there's a formula that that doesn't count every student based on free and reduced lunch programs and things like that. So, but every 2 years you get an enrollment number, and then each sport is then the league looks at, all right, the sport, how many teams are in it, and then they start making, so that, let's say, in top 64, many sports, it's top 64 schools are the largest class. Wherever that 65th school is, that's the cutoff, or that 64th. So if you're above that enrollment in that sport, then you're the largest class, and then they do the next group and the next group. And so it's different in every sport, and it depends on how many classes there are. So it can be kind of confusing for people that aren't following it that close.
Well, apparently you're going to have to follow it that close. Yeah, we do. Yeah. So, I mean, again, when do they let you know that information? And
yeah, so this spring, probably February, March, we knew, sort of came through the high school league that you find out your classification, then you find out your section, what section they put you in. In almost every sport, we're in section one, with the exception of volleyball, which is also going down one class this year, and they got put in section six.
So they're still in the Big Nine Conference, though, right?
Yep, so the conference doesn't change at all. Conference is the same, except football is its own unique thing. We can talk about that. We're still playing the Rochesters and Owatonna and Winona and Albert Lee and Austin and those schools.
But then when you go up against sections, that's where it changes.
That's where it changes.
But do you have to then schedule section components or section opponents during those seasons?
You can, right? And so you like to get a couple because when it comes time to seeding time, it's nice to, so people can see who's played, that you've played those teams. So we did make some changes to that part of the schedule, but not a ton.
I was going to say, in your instance there, is there something that you have to be involved with there when it comes to scheduling and finding the right teams to play? And then does this now, because you dropped it down, does this kind of, well, not necessarily screw it up, but does this alter it, change it? Because maybe last year you kind of were looking at next season's scheduling, because I'm sure you're not doing it right before the season. You're always looking ahead, right? So did that all of a sudden, when you found that out, you went, oh, man, now I got to redo my whole calendar?
Well, not the whole, but there are some small changes. For example, girls basketball. In the Big Nine, you play everybody. You can play them all twice, but you can also play half the league. There's a big half and a little half, and depending on which half your enrollment fits in, you might play them twice and the bottom half once. Well, as soon as we switched classes, now all of a sudden, maybe Rochester Mayo, who's one of the bigger schools, didn't want to play us twice, and so we could drop a game with them and pick up a team in our class. So little tweaks like that happened once the classifications came out.
What are the coaches saying? Because I know that when we talk about the basketball coach, who was a new head-year basketball coach, they did really well. You've got your baseball coach, who was his new coach, and they had won 19 games, and they had a really fun season and different things like that. I know that all of these coaches, whether it's Paige or any of the other teams that are out there, when it comes, they always like to schedule, you know, some upper challenging opponents so that they, you know, that are above their level. Actually, but they like to do that. So when they found out that maybe they're going to drop a class or something like that, do they come to you and go, hey, I still want to play that team, or I still want to play that team, and can you make that happen?
Yeah, and like you said, you know, most of the schedule is done, you know, you're a year out. So in the winter, we're building next year's schedule for hockey and the winter sports. So most of that was done. But yeah, I think that depends on where your program is, right? So right now our hockey programs are both pretty solid, and they are looking to play challenging opponents within their class or even outside of our class. You know, we've got other programs that maybe are struggling, and they want to get some more competitive. They need more competitive games, more games that we can compete in, as opposed to some of the tougher schools. So it depends on the sport and
right.
Each program.
So what about how much input does the coach have, or are you the judge, jury, and executioner?
No, so the conference schedule is built. That's done, right?
Okay.
So the conference schedule is a done deal, and that's the majority of the games. But then whether we have four non-conference games or 10, then the coach has a lot of say. Well, and we rely on the coaches a lot to say, hey, okay, who do you want to play? Make some connections, right? At the end of the day, the activities directors sign the contract and make sure it's going to happen. But we really depend on their coaches to, you know, tell us who do you want to play, that kind of thing.
So fall, winter, spring. Not from a fan standpoint or a coaching standpoint, as the activities director, which one do you enjoy the most?
Well, it was sort of like being thrown in the deep end and not sure if I could swim. So I don't know. It was hard to figure out which one I really enjoyed. But they're all different. You know, winter is, there's so many activities, right? And it's just, it's constant. It just keeps coming. But there's something, you get in a rhythm during the winter, right? It's just, it is what it is. And in Minnesota, you're going to games at night somewhere. Spring is a little more relaxed, but you've got weather. You've got, there's just not as many sports in the spring.
But I was going to say, this spring in particular, normally, you know, the way the golf team is, the baseball team, and things are kind of spread out. But then all of a sudden you get a 3-week push. And all of the next thing you know, they had, I mean, they had 3 golf tournaments a week. They had 3 track meets in 5 days. And it was just, it was chaos.
Exactly. Yeah. It gets crazy. So, and then of course, fall is, you know, that's closer to my heart with the football from doing that for 30 years. But it was fun to, you know, spend a little more time at volleyball and watch, you know, we had such a great volleyball team, and that was really great atmosphere this fall, and see soccer games, and be part of the cross country meet, and, you know, something I hadn't done before because I was busy with football. So it was nice to actually see all the different.
As activities director, I know that you kind of need to be there involved in whatever it is, but how much of your time is, shall I say, required to be in attendance?
Yeah, so there's certain events that we want to have an administrator at, right? Larger crowds, potential for emotional crowds, right? That kind of stuff. So between me, our principal, and our 2 assistant principals, there's quite a few of those events that we want to have one of us be at that, right? And as activities director, I'm at more than they would be at. But our principal, Shane Beyer, and our assistant principals did a great job covering events, so I didn't have to be there every single night, you know.
It would be ridiculous to even think that the activities director would be at every activity, because right. your wife would either divorce you or punch you in the face. So so when you look back over the year, I know that you were, as a football coach for 30 years, you were involved in much of this, I'm sure, like you said, scheduling and understanding the Minnesota State High School League and, you know, maybe helping out with some conference tournament play and this, that. But as the activities director, was there anything this year that you learned that you literally didn't know before?
A ton, yeah. There was, you know, when you're a coach, you see what your program's doing and you work with the AD on some things, but I didn't realize all the background stuff with a lot of it with the high school league, just scheduling. You know, you kind of take scheduling. Hey, we got our schedule, but there's a lot of work that goes into getting that schedule, getting the officials, buses, game workers. You know, things that I knew that stuff was happening around. You know, but you don't realize that all the work it takes to getting all that stuff lined up until you're in that position. Yeah.
But it was fun. We had just 22, 23 was, I think it was a good year. So you've been around for that many years. Yeah. Was this overall, when you look at fall, winter and spring, did you think that the Northfield Raiders had a significantly better year than normal, or was it status quo?
I think it was very good. You know, if you look at the, you know, that we had a couple state tournament teams, we had teams be in section finals. You know, we have our traditionally, you know, for example, swimming's a traditionally strong program, and they continue to be a strong program. You know, we've got many, many programs like that are traditionally strong. But, yeah, I think it was a very successful year that way. And then, like I said, I'm pleased with some of our other programs that I thought they made a lot of progress this year. And some have young athletes that are going to, I think, really mature and have some more success in wins and losses. But more importantly, we had a ton of participation. You know, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but how many of our students participate in these, in both the sports and the activities, throw in music, and pretty soon you've got a majority of the school.
You know? Yeah.
And just so many, that was one of the best things about this year being the activities director, was to see that, you know, to be at the choir concert and see all these kids and see what they, you know, where they started and, you know, the amazing performances they put on, whether it be orchestra and band, whether it be the play, the drama, whether it be our activities, and then the sports. It's just, it was really fun to see all that and see those kids do what they do and see the coaches and directors point them in the direction they need.
So, Bubba Sullivan, year two. Go. What's coming up? What do we got? What's your goal? Or what?
How's... You maybe don't know. So, I'm going back to the classroom.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, I'm going back. So, John Mahal is going to be our new activities director next year. So, yeah. So, John is a former Northfield educator. He's been a principal most recently at Albert Lee in elementary. He's got two kids that are busy or involved in our programs. So John is going to be the activities director. And one thing I learned is that I've loved education and being involved in it for 30 some years. And it became a little very apparent to me that I miss the kids.
Okay.
And I miss that daily interaction with the kids. And so a few months ago, I decided I'm going to go back and get back in the classroom and do that.
So you heard it here first, boys and girls. John Mahal, new activities director for the Northfield Raiders. I should get him in pretty soon.
You should.
Are you guys working together already?
We are.
Yeah. When did you start working together?
Well, we've been phone call and texting and emailing for probably maybe a month or so. And more recently now, his school year is over down there, and he's kind of wrapped that up. So we were getting together. We were this week in the office, and next week we've got a meeting. And so we're starting to work together to get that transition.
Would this be his first activities director position?
Yes.
Was he an assistant or anything?
Like I said, he was a special ed teacher in Northfield. Then he got his admin license, and I know he was maybe Shakopee for a little bit, but he's been a principal at, like I said, an elementary school in Albert Lee. I think his admin experience will really pay off just sort of some of the things that, as a non-admin before, were things that were new to me and took me a while to learn. He'll just glide right into that. He's been a coach, both in high school for different sports and in college. So he's very even keeled, well known around town, and he's just the right guy.
So perfect, awesome. Well, put a good word in for me, will you? Well, so I'd like to. I mean, you know, Joel and I think we had a nice relationship, and I'm glad that we've had this opportunity with football, right. And then now with the activities. So, tell John I'm not a. I'm not as big as jerk as everyone thinks I am. So, but thank you so much for joining us today.
I wanted to mention Emerson Garley.
Oh,
I'm sure you already did. But Emerson is a golfer for us, and she took seventh in state this week, earlier in the week. All state, she had a 2-day total of 150.
76 on Tuesday and 74. I don't think I've ever shot that low in my life.
Maybe on a putt-putt.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe one of those, golf machines in the local establishment. But no, that outstanding. And she's young. Yeah. She's still very young.
And the one other thing I had in my notes I want to mention is people probably don't know this, but Nolan Thompson, one of our pitchers for our baseball team, was picked as the Big Nine Pitcher of the Year. So
the Big Nine Pitcher of the Year.
Of the Year.
Number one. Oh, wow. So very nice.
Kind of a neat award. And I don't know if we talked about this, but Soren Richardson was Big Nine Basketball Player of the Year.
Correct.
In the winter.
Yep, I remember that. I mean, announced that, but I didn't know about Nolan. But just kind of overall, from a Raider standpoint, 22-23, I think it was a big success, and it's been fun. It's been fun covering it, and I really appreciate your cooperation with the radio station myself, and I really thank you for joining us. I'm sorry to see you go, man.
Well, that's good, but I thank you for Kim and all the coverage you guys get, and I'm excited to, like I said, get back into the classroom and be with kids, and I'm excited for our programs because I think we're on the right track, and I think John will do a great job.
Awesome. That is, of course, the activities director, former activities director, Bubba Sullivan, joining us here this morning on the Raider Wrap. Stick around. We got more sports and information coming your way right here on 95.1 The One. KYMN.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie. Ritchie Eye and LASIK. We're swinging into spring. Spring is the time to get outdoors. Yard cleanup, time at the lake, the golf course, or on the beach. This year, let's make this a spring free of glasses or contacts. And Ritchie Eye and LASIK want to help you swing into spring with up to $500 off all of our LASIK treatments.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
The graphic mailbox is in the River Park Mall. Follow your mailing and printing needs. We can pack it up, ship it out, and get it down the road. Fabricate a sign or a banner. We work hard to know our products. We can find the books for you and set you up with everything.
At Community Resource Bank, you can bank from anywhere, anytime you want. The CRB mobile banking app makes it easy to keep track of your balances, pay bills, transfer funds between accounts, and deposit checks any time of day or night. With branches in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville, we can offer solutions for businesses, residential, and investment accounts. Community Resource Bank. Let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
When looking for your next home, consider a single-level, universally designed home. What is universal design? Universal design means that it's designed for everyone, from the little children running around to grandpa and grandma, and anywhere in between. Features like zero entry mean there are no stairs or thresholds to get in your way. Make your next home more inviting to everyone and find the home that you can spend a lifetime in.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Well, it's about 23 minutes in front of 11 o'clock, and the temperature continues to rise. Looks like we got a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm later on today. But for the most part, it's going to be partly sunny. Today is going to be actually a very, very nice day. 83 for the overall high. Might, like I said, a little scattered showers maybe later this evening, maybe even a chance of a thunderstorm. A cooling off of around 63. And then for tomorrow, showers are likely, and a high of only 77. So that's going to be the coolest temperature that you're going to see between now and the end of the week, because we're going to see temperatures well into the 90s going into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So plenty of heat on the way, shall we say. Right now, we've got some overcast skies, either that or there's a lot of Canadian clouds and smoke in the air. One way or the other, we do have some sunshine poking its head out there in 72 now in the Cannon Valley. So let's catch up to Liz Campbell and this week's Meet the Raider with former track star Clara Lippert. Liz.
Good morning. And welcome back to Meet the Raider, the number one youth-led Northfield sports radio show, hosted by yours truly, Liz Campbell. Today we're talking about track with Northfield alumni and Colorado College superstar, Clara Lippert. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off with a little get-to-know-you. How long have you been back in Northfield?
I've been back in Northfield for probably about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, and does Northfield seem any different coming back from college? Do you have any new perspective on things?
I mean, I'm happy to be back in Northfield. I think it's definitely different coming back after a year from college, but it's still really fun to be back, yeah.
Yeah. And how would you say your freshman year went at Colorado College?
It was really good. I really liked it there. My classes were interesting. Track was fun. Just overall a good year, yeah.
And what would you say one of your favorite classes was?
I'm actually forgetting the name because it was a really long name, but it was about education inequality in the U.S., and it was just, like, it was really eye-opening and really interesting. There was a lot of writing involved, but a lot of the readings that we did for the class were just, like, really interesting things that I didn't know before about the U.S., and I kind of gained a new perspective on different systems of inequality.
And so, is yeah. education something you're interested in?
Education is something I'm interested in, probably not for a career, but I really respect educators and everyone who goes into the education system, and it's really interesting for me to learn about it. for sure.
And right now you are working a job that involves education. Can you mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm working in Faribault right now at Lincoln Elementary School, and I'm helping out with summer school and summer camp with first graders, sometimes second graders, kind of all around that age group. Yeah, and it's been really fun.
And you said that education might not be something you're looking for in a career. What is something you're looking for in a career?
Right now, I'm planning to major in psychology. I'm really interested in the brain and behavior and how all of that works. So I'm hoping to be some sort of clinician, possibly a therapist, maybe doing research, things like that.
And kind of getting back to school this year, was it tough to balance all of that school and being in track?
Sometimes it was definitely a struggle. I felt like I was pretty busy, but track wasn't as time-consuming as I expected it to be because it is a D3 sport in Colorado College, and they do a really good job of making sure that education comes first, your schoolwork comes first. Most of the time it was about a two-hour time commitment per day, and all of my friends were on the track team, so it didn't really feel like I was being forced to go to track or anything like that because I got to see my friends, I really liked my coaches, and overall I like running track. So it was a good break in the day for my schoolwork usually, but it's definitely a demanding college, so everything together could be overwhelming sometimes, yes.
And how would you say the track workload is different in college compared to high school?
I think the main difference that I noticed was the emphasis on lifting. So we had about an hour-long lifting session 3 days a week, and they were new lifts that I had never done before, and they were really focused on helping us specifically for track. We had a really great lifting coach who made personalized workouts for each team. So our workout would be very different than workouts for soccer or workouts for volleyball. And they were just like, they were really personalized for us, which I really appreciated. And they were just, yeah, they were super thorough. And I definitely noticed a difference in my strength throughout the year. So that was different than high school because I did lift pretty consistently in high school, but I didn't do it as focused as we did in college.
Yeah. And what are some of your main events?
My main events were the 200 and the 400 this year, but I also ran in our 4x1 relay. And I ran a 600 once, too. We kind of just, like, I would bounce around a little bit, but I focused mainly on the 200 and the 400.
And how would you say you liked running track in college?
I really like running track in college. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who's interested in doing a sport past college, even if it's not track. I just think it's a really easy way to make friends and also have a... If you want a little bit more structure with working out, it's also really great because you get to work out with other people doing a sport that you like. So, yeah, I really enjoyed doing track in college, and I'll keep doing it for sure.
Yeah. And you listed off some of the events that you've been doing this year, but what would you say is your favorite event to run?
I think my favorite event might be the 200 right now. It went pretty well for me this year because I was doing more training that was focused on sprinting. And I used to not like it as much, but it definitely grew on me this year. It was pretty fun.
And how would you say the competition is different in college versus high school?
Well, for Colorado College, the competition is pretty unique because we're the only D3 school in Colorado. So a lot of our meets, we would be competing against D2 or D1 schools, which would be different for me because sometimes it felt like we were running in a completely different field than our competitors, which honestly, sometimes it was pretty fun because you had people way ahead of you to push you. But then also we got to do some fun traveling because we would travel to D3 meets in California or Texas or Seattle. So that was really fun. And yeah, I would say the field is definitely a little bit more competitive, but also at the D3 level, sometimes it's pretty similar to high school.
Yeah. And what would you say was the highlight of your freshman year, whether that be school or track?
I think the highlight of my freshman year probably was the friends that I made on the track team. I really like all of the freshmen that I came into the team with, and it was really fun traveling to meets with them. I think my highlight was probably actually when we ran at St. Olaf, because we got to come to a meet here. And it was just, it was really fun getting to see my family and introducing my friends to my family and running at a track that I was familiar with. So, yeah, that was definitely my highlight.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in on the Raider Wrap, we are meeting with Corrado College track athlete Clara Lippert. And in high school, Clara, you ran both track and cross country. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult for you this year to just run track? Were you missing cross country a lot?
At the beginning of the year, I definitely miss cross country a little bit. There are a lot of really great girls on our cross country team, and it's a really tight team. They're all really close with each other, and they're also just really competitive. It's a really good program for cross country. I think probably because of the altitude training in Colorado, we attract a lot of runners who are really excited to run with altitude training, and the team just overall seems super fun. But I did enjoy getting to do track-specific training in the fall. I've never really done that before because usually I would be putting in a lot of miles. And sometimes the mileage would be a little bit hard for me when I was also doing sprint training in the spring. So I miss cross-country a little bit, but I was also okay with doing track training and just cheering on my teammates for sure.
Yeah. And you do a lot of sprinting events in mm-hmm. track. Do you wish you could try out some longer distance events in track or no?
I think the only event that I would want to try that's longer distance would be the 800. I used to do that in high school. I really enjoyed it. But we have a lot of really good 800 runners on our team. We have, I think, 4 girls who are running sub 224, which is pretty competitive for D3. And so they're not in need of any more 800 runners, but it would always be a fun event to try out. It was fun running the 600 once. That was a little bit of a further distance for me this year.
Yeah. And kind of thinking back to last year when you applied for colleges, why did you pick Colorado?
I applied to a lot of colleges that were kind of similar to Carleton and St. Olaf, but just in different places because I wanted something new. And I picked Colorado College because it just seemed like a really fun and focused atmosphere. They care a lot about school, but they like to go on different adventures around Colorado. And I'd never really been to Colorado that much, so my first time being there was when I toured the college. And it just seemed like a really beautiful state, definitely something new. And I liked the team when I met them. And I also liked the block plan, which, if you're unfamiliar with the block plan, you take one class at a time for 3.5 weeks. And that seemed like something that I could really fit in with my learning style. So those are all the factors that brought me to Colorado College, for sure, yeah.
And did they reach out about track, or did you kind of pursue them about track? How did the track team agreement mm-hmm. come about?
So I heard about Colorado College because there are a few Northfielders that have gone there before, and it's also it's connected to Carleton and St. Olaf in a way. And so I reached out to the cross-country coach first, and I talked to him. And then during my track season, the track coach ended up reaching out to me. And I think I talked to her a little bit in the fall, too, and I applied early action and then kind of figured it out from there.
Yeah. And what advice would you give other athletes trying to find a way to compete collegiately?
I would say definitely don't hesitate to reach out to coaches. I think a really common misconception is that coaches are going to reach out to you, and that definitely does happen, but it might always not be for schools that you want to run at or schools that you want to go to. So what I did is I sent a lot of emails to coaches, and sometimes it can be a lot of work keeping up with correspondence between them, but it's so important to let the coaches know that you're interested in their school and running at the school, and then setting up a Zoom call and keeping in contact with them, because that goes a long ways. There are also always recruiting questionnaires on college websites that you can fill out. And I would just say, yeah, don't hesitate to show your interest to the school, because even if they're not reaching out to you, that doesn't mean that they're not interested, especially if it's a D3 college.
Were there any other factors that you considered, or was that about it?
I would say that was about it. I was in between going to a small college and a big college. Colorado College is only 2,000 people, which is very different from the University of Minnesota or University of Wisconsin-Madison, which are both about 30,000 students. So that was something that I considered, but I ended up really liking a small school environment.
And what has been your favorite part so far about living in Colorado?
I kind of just like seeing the mountains every day. It's really pretty. It's also, it's sunny all year round. Even if it's cold, the sun is usually still out, which makes a huge difference for me. So that's probably been my favorite part.
And you mentioned going to other places like California or Texas to compete with other D3 schools. Do you feel a difference when you travel to those other colleges, or do you feel a difference in the oxygen levels?
I usually just notice a difference in the humidity. It's really dry in Colorado, and I will get used to it, but then as soon as I travel somewhere that's sea level, I do notice that I can breathe a little bit easier, and there's just more moisture in the air. Yeah.
Did you complete any of your freshman year track goals?
Yeah, one of my goals was to break 27 in the 200. I ran a 27 flat for my last race of senior year. And then my first race of freshman year, I ran a 26.6 and then continued to go down to, I think I ran a 26.01. So the goal for next year is to break 26. But yeah, that was super exciting in the 200.
And as a collegiate athlete who's been competing, has been running for a very long time, how do you mentally prepare for a race?
That was something that I worked on a lot this year. I wanted to have a strong mentality going into my races and work on my pre-race nerves because those can definitely get the best of me sometimes. So something that I worked on a lot this year was positive self-talk. So you could even see me in the blocks before a race saying, I'm excited over and over to myself to try to trick my brain into getting excited for my race. That's something that I learned, that even if you're really nervous, if you're kind of trying to channel those high intensity emotions into something different that's a little bit more positive, you can kind of trick your brain into thinking that you're excited for something even if you're not. So I would just be repeating that to myself over and over again while I was in the blocks and before my race, and it definitely helped.
Yeah. And right now you're back for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be doing any training over the summer? Does your coach have anything for you? Or are you doing anything by yourself?
Yep, I have a summer training plan for lifting that's pretty detailed, and then for running, I think I'll just be doing shorter workouts, maybe hill workouts, some short repeats on the track, nothing crazy. I've been doing a few, I sometimes go for a jog like a few days a week, but the main thing that I'm focusing on is lifting this summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in track since you were in...
Eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time. Have you ever felt any sense of burnout?
Sometimes. This year, track could get a little bit overwhelming in the middle of the spring because we were traveling a lot, and so I would have to miss class on Fridays. And when I was in a hard class in the middle of the spring when I was missing the class for track, and that definitely got a little bit overwhelming, but it was helpful that I have a lot of teammates who really like track and also are really good friends of mine on the team. So it was kind of helpful being able to spend time with them and also setting goals for myself and just continuing to do track and enjoy track, even though it could be a little bit overwhelming to balance sometimes.
And what advice would you give to anyone feeling a little bit of burnout or losing a little bit of love for track?
I would say just you need to remember that it's not that serious. It's not everything. You have to remember to have fun with it, or it's just not worth it to do it. So if you need to take a step back and just reevaluate why you're doing the sport and what the reasons are for you showing up every day, and just try to remember what makes it fun and try to keep that in the front of your mind when you're doing it, I would say that's the most important part of avoiding burnout.
Yeah. And right now, do you have any fun summer plans?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just excited to be back in Northfield, kind of taking a break from school for a bit, but my family and I, we're going to California in about a month, and I'm excited for that. Oh, I'm also going to the Taylor Swift concert with my sister, so that's super exciting. I'm excited for that, yeah.
That is exciting. Well, have fun at the Taylor Swift concert, and best of luck in your future track seasons.
Thanks, Liz.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. That's a wrap on this week's Meet the Raider with your host, Liz Campbell. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Fall is a great time to get that landscaping project, home remodel, or repair done, and with interest rates still low, you can do it all with a home loan from Hometown Credit Union. Hometown Credit Union offers a variety of home loan options for refinancing, renovating, new construction, and purchasing your first home or forever home. Whatever your home loan needs are, Hometown Credit Union can make them happen with rates and terms to fit. Learn more and apply online at hometowncu.coop. Equal Housing Lender. From the team at Hometown Credit Union, go Raiders!
Remember that special teacher who took the time to work with you one-on-one after school, helping you finally pass that difficult subject? Well, it's like that with the mortgage lenders at Merchants Bank when you're buying a new home. Let's face it, home buying is unfamiliar and can be overwhelming. Merchants lenders know this. So, like their special students, they'll help you understand different financing options and weigh the pros and cons of each. In the end, your passing grade will be the financing that fits you and a house that you'll be happy to call home. Merchants Bank, equal housing lender, loan subject to approval.
Hey, thanks for joining us for the Raider Wrap each and every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on KYMN. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu again for another season of the Raider Wrap. Thanks for joining us this morning. I hope you had a good time. I hope you enjoyed all the interviews that we had this morning. And, of course, the eye-opening interview with Bubba Sullivan as he steps down as Activities Director. And John Mahal will step into his place for the 2023-2024 season. And, of course, Liz Campbell on the scoreboard and Clara Liberty for joining us on this week's Meet the Raider. We're going to take a little break. Enjoy the summer. And, we'll be back in the fall. But don't go away. We'll be back. Don't you worry. Sorry about that. A little technical difficulties going on here this morning. So, hey, nothing changes. Just because it's summer and things are going to start blooming and blossoming and everything else going on throughout the year doesn't mean that I can't screw things up inside the studio. But anyhow, stick around. More music, more fun coming your way right here on 95.1, The One, KYMN and AM 1080. Remember to listen back at kymnradio.net. Enjoy your summer.
Sail on down the line, about a half a mile or so, and don't really want to know where you're going. Maybe once or twice, you see, time after time I try to hold on to